So about a year ago, you wrote a powerful piece for CNN about after the Roderick Danzler killing spree, which was just such a horrific day for Grand Rapids. You closed it by stating, we hope that we restrain ourselves from building walls and continue to be a friendly place. A year later, in your eyes, do you feel that we have restrained ourselves from building walls and that we've remained friendly as a city here in Grand Rapids?
And I'm very, very happy to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like Grand Rapids is a friendly place, is a warm place, is a place that I feel very comfortable having my 15-year-old roam the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was nervous at first.
Oh, yeah, understandably so. I think everybody was on edge after that.
My kid was not, you know, hanging around downtown without me around for weeks and weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But you learn to not live in fear.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what terrorists do, right?
Right.
That's what terror does.
It
causes you to live in fear.
Sure.
And, you know, it's just it's just a wonderful, wonderful place to raise a family and to be part of a community. I have a good friend who used to be a male model,
mm-hmm.
and we both lived in Manhattan at the same time.
Okay.
And so we actually knew each other in New York. And
sure.
We worked out at the same gym. And I run into him, you know, at the gym here in Grand Rapids.
Okay.
He's originally from West Michigan. I came back to West Michigan.
Sure.
And we saw each other again at the gym this past weekend and just talked about the good old times in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
And then just sort of like, you know, kind of like, you know, yeah, I still have my connections in New York. Yeah, I still go to New York. But
yeah,
West Michigan is a good place
mm-hmm.
to set some roots and establish
mm-hmm.
a family. And a year later, yeah, I definitely feel that way.
Good, good. Now, do you think that there's a permanent change in the city from it, or do you think we've returned to a place where, you know, it can't happen here?
I don't think we're that ignorant anymore or that naive.
Okay.
To think that it can't happen here. I don't think that that you need that many more times. And I think what's really, I don't necessarily want to say help, but what really shaped that sort of reality for us, it's not just what happened to us, but what we've also have noticed what have happened to cities of similar size
mm-hmm.
around the country and the tragedies that have happened to them.
Sure.
Like, obviously, the Colorado shooting
mm-hmm.
being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That city could very well be a city like Grand Rapids in many respects.
Sure.
And so when you see your own tragedy that have happened, and then you see what's happened to other similar cities,
mm-hmm.
then you realize that the world isn't what it was, excuse me, in a city of
right.
our size 30 years ago.
Sure.
It's still a good place to raise a family.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a good, you know, town still with wonderful people.
Sure.
But we can't pretend as if we're insulated
right.
from these sort of tragedies.
Right, right. Now, you mentioned that you'd played basketball with him, and something seemed a little mm-hmm. bit odd. What was it that jumped out at you about the guy?
You know, not to be flip about it, but you can
Fair
always
enough.
Tell when someone's a little crazy.
Sure.
A little off, something's
sure.
not right.
Sure.
And we all kind of felt that way about him.
Oh, okay.
You know, so if he fouled you particularly hard, you were more apt to kind of, you know, not make a big deal out of it.
Right, right,
because
right.
Because you just weren't sure what the response was going to be.
Right.
If he was going to push you in such a way that it caused you to retaliate physically.
Right.
Or if, you know, or what he would say, you just never really knew
mm-hmm.
With that guy. And it just wasn't me who felt that way. We all kind of joked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually how you handle someone that you view as unstable in some way or form or fashion, is that you kind of joke it
sure.
behind their backs, like, oh, you know, they're kind of crazy.
And but then, it's rare that something like this happens.
It's rare that something like
this
happens.
Then it's that guy, you know, oh, yeah, you remember him, and we played basketball with him,
right.
and did you see what happened?
Yeah, I mean, and yeah. We talked about it. I was like, going, we knew that dude was crazy.
Yeah.
But you didn't know what that meant.
Right, right.
You just knew that something was off.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, at the Y, right
mm-hmm.
downtown.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You
wow.
know, so it's kind of funny. Not funny. It's just weird.
Right. Yeah. You know, oh, it's to, surreal.
Yeah, to look
yeah.
back on it and
sure.
go.
Sure.
There were no signs that told you that he was violent in that capacity.
Right.
But you had lots of signs to know that he wasn't necessarily a stable human
sure.
being.
Sure, sure, sure. Now, from time to time, you do columns on politics. Certainly, it's maybe sometimes a more brutal activity than sports. Mm-hmm. Now that the convention's wrapped up and we're about less than 60 days out from the election, what's your take on the presidential playing field?
Wow. You know, I'm actually working on a piece right now. And
okay.
And I'm starting off by saying my neck hurts. because I'm trying to keep up with all the flipping positions that they're taking, and I, you know, I think I have whiplash.
We should all be sent neck braces,
you know, right into November. You know, it's getting really down to crunch time, and for me, crunch time boils down to 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
The first day of the debate.
Right.
The first debate, I think, will have all the gravitas in the world for both men, but particularly President Obama, because I think this will be his last true shot to address all the criticism head on in front of the American people, with arguably someone who will be as well prepared to take him down as anyone in the country.
Right.
If he is able to navigate through that night and come out on top, or at least not as battered as perhaps he could have been, then I think he's in a very good position to get reelected. I think if Romney is successful in attacking his policies and making him appear unsteady or unsure of the last 4 years, then I think his chances of getting back into the White House are severely damaged by that night. But then, with that being said, you know, 4 days before the election, I think it's either 4 or 3 days before the election, is the final jobs report before we go in to submit our ballots. And you got to think that if it's a lukewarm or highly disappointing job report,
it could shift the whole playing field.
It could shift the entire conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So he could be a 10-point favorite if we have a 50,000 job, you know, job report.
Right.
That number is going to drop.
Right.
That 10% is going to shrink quickly.
Right.
If it's six-figured, if it's 150, 140, you know, 130, I think he's still in comfortable shape.
Sure.
If it's sub, you know, 80, I think he's in a lot of trouble.
Sure, sure. Now, are you going to be going to cover any of the debates?
I am still working out the schedule and covering the actual debates.
Okay.
Just finished finalizing my schedule for the week of the election.
Okay.
So I'll be in New York. I'll be in-house. I'll be writing a series of columns and doing video blogging the day before, the day of, and the day after.
Okay.
Documenting as many different perspectives with the information we're gathering as possible during that time.
Sure.
And I am working on the debate schedule themselves to see which ones I can actually make it to.
Okay.
Because I have to balance that life with ESPN life.
And okay. So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm serving two masters, and they both treat me well.
Well, it's good fun.
It is good fun. You know, and they're very, very similar.
Now, you had a very well-received TEDx Grand Rapids talk entitled The Myth of the Gay Agenda. For those who were unable to catch the talk in person or haven't seen the video online yet, what are some of the main points you'd like folks to take away from it?
Well, you know, I went into the project with two goals. One, I didn't want to be, I didn't want to represent a victim and get on stage and whine and complain about how oppressed gay people are.
Sure.
Not that we don't have our challenges as the GLBT community, but I just didn't want my entire talk to be about that.
Sure.
And then, two, I wanted to have some fun. You know, my Twitter handle is Locks and Laughs.
Yeah.
And if I'm not laughing, then it looks like I'm a liar.
Okay,
so
fair.
I wanted to have some fun. And so, you know, I took the approach that at its very core, if you look at all of the things that, you know, gay rights organizations are fighting for, at its core, is really just the things that are already documented in the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
It's just through a series of attitudes as well as unconstitutional laws that have deprived the GLBT community from having full access to those rights that have been laid out by the U.S. Constitution. So the talk is just basically looking at that.
Okay.
And just saying, these aren't special rights; these are just the same rights. And that when you look, when you get right down to it, gay people are actually taxed for being gay.
Okay.
You know, because we are not able to do things like get married, thus we can't write things off as a married couple would.
Right. Well, that's an interesting spin on it.
So it's it. I mean, it's it just. I mean, you're just literally are being taxed.
Sure.
More.
Sure.
You could be in a 20-year relationship. House, adopt the kids, the whole nine, but because of your sexual orientation, you're not able to take part in the more than 1,000, you know, tax benefits you get for being married. And so, you know, when you paint things like that for people, and also talking about the number of states where it's still legal to fire someone for no other reason than them being openly gay, and that it's still legal to deny someone housing
right.
because of their sexual orientation.
Right.
You know, not questioned, but legal.
Sure.
And so when you hold those things up and you juxtapose that to the U.S. Constitution, you see the disconnect. And so the TEDx talk was just looking at that disconnect
mm-hmm.
and trying to do it in such a way where I wasn't trying to vilify people for whoever they are or whatever their politics happen to be,
mm-hmm.
but just about basic decency as human beings
sure.
and fairness.
Sure.
I think it came across well. I remember a lot of laughs, and
mm-hmm.
Anytime you can whip out a lightsaber,
yeah,
and make your point, I think you're doing all right. So
you got some nice lightsaber moves there.
I got some lightsaber moments. So I was like, going, you know what? If I died right now, I think I'd be okay.